Lights, camera, action. Welcome back to another episode of Happy Hour Films. As you all know, I'm Ross Bacon. I'm joined by my co-host, Mike McQuiggan. Mike, say hi.
How's everyone doing?
And you should know by now that we're two dudes drinking, talking about movies. Now, this week, we are starting a little bit of a stretch, a four-week stretch of shot-for-shot remakes of movies.
This one is as shot-for-shot as you get.
Nope, yeah, the only real difference, there's only like some slight differences in the American one, the quote-unquote American one, because the director is the same guy. he remade his own movie. This dude named Michael Haneke. And of course, two movies are Funny Games, and it's Funny Games from 1997 versus Funny Games 10 years later from 2007. And the 97 one is a full German language movie. The 2007 one is a full English language movie, starring obviously different actors. Now, the funny part is that nobody liked the 97 one. There are people walked out during Cannes Film Festival. It's a very difficult film to watch. And then he was like, oh, well, it didn't take off in America because there weren't American stars in it. It wasn't in English. That's why. So 10 years later, he remade shot for shot the same movie starring Michael Pitt and other guy as the two psychopath teens. But then the funny thing is that he cast two non-Americans as the lead who play American. He cast Tim Roth and he cast Naomi Watts, who are British and Australian. So I was like, this is very interesting. Oh no, I'm sorry, Naomi Watts is British as well. They're two very British people. So yes, I guess English is the proper term, but it's not American like he was intending.
Yeah.
But it's very, both movies are very difficult to watch, and it's
and
on
even purpose. Though they're shot for shot remakes, they have like a like they're both very much psychological thriller slash horror, but they have slightly different vibes to them, even though they're shot for shot.
Yeah, and it's I don't know, it's very, like, it's very interesting. Because, and I mean, we'll get into all of this, but it's very interesting because the two movies even have like damn near the same dialogue. Like, it's not like they changed the dialogue either, like, or anything. It's almost, there's only little words here and there that are changed.
So, remaking this movie is so bizarre to me, because of what the movie is like trying to say. Like, going into the movie, it is very much like a masochistic movie. You don't walk away enjoying this movie. And the way the movie's written, it implicates the audience for showing up to watch something like this. So to remake it is, it like shot for shot is so fucking bold of him.
It is. It's a very ballsy move, especially given the fact that people have, and we'll talk about in the next 3 weeks, people have remade movies shot for shot before, but they've been shot for shot remakes of someone else's movie. This dude was like, oh, 10 years later, I'm just going to remake my own movie. And I'm just going to put different actors in it, and I'm going to really, in quotes, set it somewhere else, even though the interior set is identical because it's made with the blueprints of the original house, and the exteriors are really just shot in, like, Long Island somewhere, but it looks identical to where they are in Germany. You know, it's like they purposely found spots that look the same.
Yeah, that's... And it kind of makes it hard for me to do, like, a fun comparison on, like, coming up with the breakdowns. There is no fun comparison to be had with these movies to begin with, but...
Ironically enough, the Funny Games movies were not fun to watch, but...
No, this was my first time watching. I did not enjoy myself.
Yeah, and like I told Mike before we went on, these movies are better, easier to watch the second time around. That's the, and I keep saying German because the most people in it are German, but it is technically an Austrian movie.
Yeah.
Like it's technically in Austria, but either way, it could pass for Long Island. You know, it's all of these are identical. There's only
Yeah, they both
slight
look
differences.
like typical rich old money vacation communities.
Yeah. And before we get any deeper, though, we got to talk about what we're drinking. So, Mike, what do you got?
All right, so I didn't feel like beer was the vibe for this. So I went to my local meadery.
Okay.
So I got, it's called Odin's Wild Hunt from Armageddon Brewing. It is a blackberry, I'm sorry, boysenberry mead. So about
Okay.
13% alcohol. And talking about these movies, you definitely need something stronger than beer.
Right. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, definitely.
Drinking it out of my Viking cup.
Right.
But it's a very good mead. This is, if you like sweet red wines, this mead, you'll probably like this mead, because that's very much like the taste it gives off.
Okay. All right. I, on the other hand, did go with beer, but I went with two different versions of the same beer. Went with the tall boy version and the standard 12-ounce version of Shipbottom's Pale Lager. So it is the same beer in two different packages, which is what Funny Games is. It's the same movie in two different packages. But I mean, it's Shitbombs Pale Ale. I'm fine. I'm here for it. It's still good. It's still great. I apologize to them for using it for these two movies. I'm sure they don't want to be associated with these movies, but it's not like we're Joe Rogan, so I think we'll be on.
Yeah.
So
Yeah. But yeah, I was
that
trying to
said,
come up with a way to break down these movies, and I feel like you're just gonna have to go like character for character with your five main characters. And then
yeah.
I think you can probably do a comparison of the cinematography, because I do think some shots are like done differently, and I do inherently prefer one version to the other in that regard.
There are two scenes specifically that are different. They're not different. They're just
Shot different.
one is shorter and the other is shot slightly differently. But we can let's compare the two. All right, so let's compare the two wives versus the two husbands. We don't necessarily need to compare the two kids because all their job is to do is just to cry. That's all it
Yeah.
really is. So, like, it's really a matter of if you want to hear a kid cry in English or cry in German, you know? And it doesn't really matter. But, and then of course, we have our pairs of psychopaths, our pairs of bullies and teens, which are Arno Grish, I think his name is. Just shut down IMDb. I hate this. IMDb should know when I want it open. It should just
Yeah,
open.
IMDb should be. Yeah, it's Arno Frisch and
Arno
Frank
Frisch
Gehring.
and Frank Gehring, yeah, versus Michael Pitt and other guy. Michael Pitt
Brad
and
Brady
Brady Corbett.
Corbett.
Yeah. Which we will definitely get into because I do prefer the quote unquote American version of it. Simply because, and it's I've nothing against subtitles. I don't. And in this case, it's unlike with Seven Samurai. It's nothing to do with something being lost in translation because
Yeah.
the subtitles are all the same. Like the subtitles for German are identical to the English language track. So for that, so the
Well,
dialogue
it's
is identical.
easier to translate German straight to English than it is to translate Japanese straight to English.
Right, so we can do a one-to-one comparison here with dialogue because it's identical, and the only other thing I would want to compare is the choice to use the same music, and because, like I said, this is Austrian versus American, but yet we use the identical music, which in a shot-for-shot remake is one thing if your shots are all identical, But to use the same soundtrack for a movie that you've explicitly said you want to do as an American version of it, you
Yeah.
might as well use American music or something that Americans would prefer. Now, granted, there's only two choices here with music, so we might as well just start with this. So we'll start with the music. So with the music, there's only two choices. There is classical music that they have to guess what it is. It's either Handel or there's something else. But then there is the noise rock band that's used over the credits. And then at one point in the tent scene where Georgie is hiding from Paul. And it's purposely off-putting. And it's purposely just noise rock. It's just people banging instruments together with a little bit of a rhythm with the guitar, and they're just screaming over it. And it's supposed to put you on edge. And the German version of that is okay because I think it's a German band that does it. But if you're doing that for an American movie, why not use some like nonsense punk band or some other nonsense metal band or something like that?
There's
Just.
plenty of early 90s punk bands you could have gone with.
Oh yeah, like pretty much any, I mean, even though I'm pretty sure, and I'm gonna look it up just to make sense, G.G. Allin was American. So you could have used any of his music because he died in 93. So his whole like, I don't know, authentic punk crap wouldn't have mattered because his estate would have wanted money because they didn't have it when he was famous, quote unquote famous, because that was his shtick. His shtick was just to be gross and disgusting on stage. We use something like that because that's inherently what the music is in the German version. So you use something American equivalent. Using the same track, it's like, well, that's one less creative decision you didn't make, you
Yeah,
know?
that this inherently has to go to the German version
Yeah, because it makes
or
sense, you know?
Austrian version, I guess.
Austrian. I mean, I'm just going to keep saying German because, you know, same thing. Okay. I have
Hey, I
apologies
think
to.
World War One veterans that may or may not still be alive would very much disagree.
I think everyone from World War One is dead. I think two is still, I think we still got some pictures from two. But yeah, it's, I mean, it's what cracks me up though is the, I'm trying to think how to put it, because the only reason you would know that this is Austrian is by the language. There's nothing else about it. It's purposely done so it could be like anywhere. And when you
Oh,
do the
and
American.
the last World War One veteran passed away in 2012 at the age of 110.
Yeah, there we go. So yeah, we don't need to worry about that anymore. So it's the people in two that are worried about it's I don't know, I guess it's the people that fought the Germans and the occupied Austrians, I guess. But it's very, the American version is very much, this could be any white America anywhere. These people are generic as hell. You know, they're generic white Americans, but like rich white Americans. But with Austrian, it's weird because they literally seem to be generic people. There aren't, these aren't actors that became famous after this. And I was looking up the cast of this. They don't have large filmographies. So this is almost a one and done for all of these people. The dude that plays Paul, Arno Frisch, he's had a little bit of a career, but he didn't do a lot, you know? And compared to like Michael Pitt or Naomi Watts or Tim Roth, you know, even the other guy gets a good amount of time in a couple things, you know?
So I looked it up. Let's play. What are their Rotten Tomatoes scores?
All right. I think they're both rotten.
Not quite.
No? I thought they were both rotten.
Start with
I'm gonna say,
97. 97.
that? Okay, so
Start with
97.
97.
97, I'm gonna say is like 50.
Nope. Higher.
Really? Is it over 60? Over 70?
Yep.
Holy shit. I mean, I
If
guess
we're
critics
talking
are.
audience score over 80.
Oh my God. Wow. And that's with people walking out of it, apparently.
Right.
Sure.
So
I'm a.
the critic score for 97 was 72, and
Oh,
the
wow.
audience score was 83.
Oh, wow.
Now, 2007, the critic score is 52, and the audience score is 54.
That makes sense. That makes perfect sense because even though Haneke's plan was to release it in America and get this American audience, it's still the same movie. It's an off-putting movie. No one's going to be like, oh, Naomi Watts' new picture. I'm going to go see that by the millions, you know? So it's like, dude, of course, you didn't pick like Scarlett Johansson or in 2007. I'm trying to think, like,
You
I don't
have
know, maybe
Brad Pitt and like
for Julia Roberts or something, you know?
yeah.
It's like, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, you didn't pick them. So no one's going to inherently see the
Yeah.
cast list and be like, oh, let's go see that, you
Yeah, and
know?
outside of like I feel like major cinephiles, like people recognize Tim Roth, like your average moviegoer recognizes Tim Roth, but not many average moviegoers go, "Oh, the new Tim Roth movie."
I don't think anyone does. I don't even think Tim Roth does. I don't even think he's like, hey, my new
He's
movie's out
definitely
tonight.
got like a fandom in like the real cinephile. Like, I feel like people watch his movies from the 90s and love them. Like,
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's great. Like Reservoir Dogs, he's great in, you know?
Reservoir Dogs, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead.
Yeah, like a lot of niche crap, you know?
Yeah.
But it's. Yeah, and it's again, the people in the Austrian version weren't like Schwarzenegger. You know, it
No.
wasn't Schwarzenegger or anything. So these people on outside of Austria, Arnold Schwarzenegger is basically the only Austrian actor that anyone knows,
Yeah,
you know? And
it's
I'm
probably good we're
sure.
calling it the Austrian version. The last time an Austrian became German, things didn't go well.
It wasn't great. That's why that whole second thing happened. But it's so odd to watch these movies because you want something to like latch on to. And
The
that's
purpose of the movie is to have nothing. Like, even
right.
when they give you a little bit of hope with the wife shooting the one guy, the fucker breaks the fifth wall and rewinds the movie.
Literally rewinds the movie, and that's where the and I've never bought into. I don't enjoy movies where after the fact, the director or somebody in the creative team, usually the director, is the one that says, "Oh, well, it's a commentary on this, and if you didn't get it, you weren't the right audience," and blah blah. It's like, no, dude, I get it. You made an a purposely off-putting movie to test the audience's patience. And you then, after the fact, when no one watched your movie, basically said that like it was a commentary on humanity's relationship with cinematic violence and all this shit. It's like, no, dude. You tried for the art house version of a Yoko Ono song, and no one liked it. So you
That's
don't get to
you.
say that we're stupid after the
That's you went for the last house on the left without the parents coming in and getting vengeance.
Yeah, without the, and I'm not saying you need to have a happy ending.
It
It's
doesn't have to
perfectly
be
fine.
happy, but something for the audience to root for.
Right. We either need to.
Like, you need the one guy, like, forcing himself on the wife and her biting his dick off. Like,
Or the other way, we need the couple to be unlikable and to
yeah.
almost want them to suffer. You know, we want this to be like a commentary on the rich and the disassociated, the oh, Buffy, we're gonna go play golf tomorrow. No practicing, you know.
Like, the who's the worst monster? The disassociated rich people or the sociopaths?
Yeah, or the, you know. Basically, what because based on their uniform, essentially, because they're wearing like tennis whites and these white gloves. So they look like little preppies. And the thing is, it's like, who are we supposed to not like here? And that is a purposefully not answered question. We're supposed to dislike what's happening to this couple, but there's no reason to care what's happening to this couple other than the fact that we wouldn't want it to happen to us, you know? But then there's scenes like when we get long stretches, and this is why I prefer the American one, because there is a bit of an edit done, or there's a little bit of self-editing done. The scene after the son gets shot in the face and his body is just like kind of off to the right. In the Austrian version, the mother is center of the frame in the back by the light. He is still just like processing what has happened and sitting in it. And she sits in that for about 6 minutes. And it is incredibly annoying to watch because it's like, I get it, dude, that this woman's kid just got shot in front of her and she's clearly in shock. But we don't need to show her entire grief cycle, you know? We don't need to see this of her just sitting there for like 6 minutes on end. Whereas Naomi Watts, on the other hand, does that for about a minute. And then she gets up and tries to like escape and get loose and all that kind of stuff.
But that is the one scene that I'm giving to the American version in terms of shot choice and cinematography. Because most of the movie, I tend to prefer the Austrian version in terms of shot choice.
And maybe it's because I watched the American one the day after I watched the Austrian one, but everything, and it's the one I saw first when these originally came out. But everything with the quote unquote American one, I just find better because Michael Pitt, in my opinion, is a more charismatic villain. He's more of an annoying dick psychopath, you know?
So see, I prefer the Austrian one
I think
because
he's got a better Bugs Bunny look at the camera. He's got a better like ain't I a stinker face. Like he does have a better face for that. I'll give him that.
to me, he is a I can see like how he gets into people's houses more, like because
Oh yeah.
he puts on a better facade of oh, I'm just this nice young man, and I'm just gonna gaslight the shit out of you, and then I'm gonna wink at the camera after I kill your fucking dog.
Yeah, it's all about polite. It's funny with both of them. It's all about politeness, which is funny as hell because what a and I'll this is what I'll give both of them credit for with this movie, having your villains not be like maniacal, laughing, crazy people. They're
No,
just.
they pretty much the whole time are just cold, even, and like sociopaths. Like
They're
they
just.
aren't showing emotions.
They're just they're and they're actually, I wouldn't say they're not showing emotion. They're just not showing evil emotion or anger. They're just polite dudes, you know? And it's the one like and Paul is the leader of the two who's got the charisma and personality,
Which I
whereas
gotta
Peter.
say, Peter might be the most unlikable movie character I've ever seen in both versions.
Yes, I agree. I find the Austrian one just to be a worse actor too, simply because his face looks stupider. Like you look at him and you go, I don't like this guy. You know, I'm not supposed to like him, but I don't like him simply looking at him. Whereas the kid in the American one has more of like a aw shucks kind of like simpleton vibe to him.
That's the other scene with the American one I kind of like better, the eggs, where they just keep on dropping those eggs.
Which, when you think about it, because when you're watching this like for the first time, I'm sure you're like, oh, these eggs just can't keep breaking these eggs. But then when you go that next step and you think about that as part of the plan, it's such a great way to get under someone's skin to just kind of like be like to basically almost put it on her that it's her fault these eggs keep breaking. You know? It's like he's like psychologically being like, oh. Like, well, you handed them to me, and your dog startled me. That's why I jumped. So it's really your fault. So you got 12 eggs in there. Why don't you just give me another four?
Now, it is funny, but you find out that they go to the next house asking for eggs again.
Yeah, it's their bit. It's how they get into the
What do
house.
they do if the house doesn't have a dog or doesn't have golf clubs for them to try? Because
Right.
they
Right. And
don't go,
that's
they don't seem to go there with weapons.
no,
Like
they're just
realistically, if they do this bit and someone in the house is like a well, like they have some sort of fighting experience or are just generally bigger than the two guys, they're not coming in with weapons. Like if someone catches on quick enough, that's big enough to just at least beat one of them up, then
It is kind of shocking though that the husband in both movies obviously is more of like he wants to be polite to these strangers, but he obviously can tell that his wife is pissed off, and he can tell that these two are annoying the shit out of her. And if he truly is the rich, snobby white dude that he is, he'd tell them to fuck off, or I'm calling the cops. Like, I'm calling the police. Like, get out of here. I'm calling the police. You know, do you
Also,
know who I
golf
am?
clubs are expensive. I wouldn't let a stranger try my golf clubs.
Hell no, you know, and they're Callaway clubs, you know, they're pretty good clubs, you know, but it is funny that these two villains are all about politeness, is that's what it is. And the funny thing is that the other scene that they do differently in the American one is the dog hunt, the hot game of hot and cold. Before she finds the dog. In the Austrian one, it again goes on so long. This woman is absolutely awful at this game. It's like she's never played it before. Because when he says colder, she goes farther away. And he's like, no, colder. You know, you idiot, turn around.
Which
Because
I think
Naomi,
adds to that scene a bit. It
I
makes
and
it more
it adds
believable
to
that
it.
these people could like fall for this.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like it does make them out to be a little bit dumber that like it this they would absolutely fall for this. But Naomi Watts is like she knows how to play the game because she's probably played it as a kid, and takes her almost no time to figure out where the dog is. You know that the dog is in this one, at least in the American one, in the trunk of the Land Rover. In the Austrian one, he's in the back seat, and the way the car is
And
parked
I
is
hate
slightly
movies where
different.
the dog dies, so like this movie very early, I was like, I'm out. I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way you see that dog in the beginning. There's no way that dog lives, you know, in this movie. It just can't happen. And the funny thing is I do like the dog puppets where they kind of just slink out of the car. And it is a good, like, dead dog effect, you know, where it almost makes me want to think, like, well, I wish it was some good dead dog acting, you know, like dog acting where they're just like pretending to flop, you know, and then like it's like cut and the dog gets back up, you know, just kind of
Now,
bounds away.
I want to re like a short film remake of this movie where the movie is over in like 10 minutes because the dog's a chihuahua and you just see Paul running away and the chihuahua's like latched on to his nuts.
Right, yeah. Or the German Shepherd in the Austrian one acts like a German Shepherd and is actually like attacks his dogs. And of course, the Golden Retriever in the American one is the very American dog to have. But with the two, like, so comparing the two villains, I prefer Michael and what's his name, Brad or whatever, you know, I prefer those two simply because they do have a better. They have a better chemistry feel too. They have a better chemistry together.
So it's hard. So I agree that the chemistry is better in the American version, but I think that's mostly because Peter is like, I don't think either Peter is great, but he's better in the American version.
He
But
is
I
better.
like Paul in the Austrian version.
Yeah, and I could see that. It's just he's acting off of nothing. So like he's got to carry the villainous aspect of it.
Like
Where
Peter
they're
is such a nothing character in the he just drops eggs and goes, oops.
yeah, oh, I'm so sorry, you know, like, he accidentally knocks a phone into the sink, you know, it's like, oh, or accidentally in quotes, but it's like, oh, you know, whatever, but Yeah,
Do we
so
ever get like the neighbor introduces him as like a work friend's son in both. That's because he's like on like they're threatening him, right?
oh,
Like,
absolutely. Well,
yeah.
they kill them. We just don't see the husband dead. We see the wife dead. She's dead in like the
The
bathroom.
daughter dead too.
Yeah, we at least know that they've been killed, and the assumption is that they killed the father as well, the
Yeah.
husband as well. And then obviously at the end they move on to the next couple.
That's they make it more clear in the American version that something is wrong with those two being at the neighbor's house. In
Yeah.
the first version I watched was 97, where there it was like weird, but something didn't really seem necessarily wrong. And when he came over and introduced him, I'm like, did they actually have a relationship? And like he showed up and they were psychopaths, like unbeknownst to like did the guy actually know Paul's father and invite them, and then like they used that as a springboard to launch their murder spree.
Right. Yeah, they use that to get their foot in the door. But yeah, and it is funny because then the neighbors, not the ones that come up on the boat and then sail away. Now the great part is in the American one, it's Siobhan Fallon is
Yeah.
the wife. And she is I don't this is the only role I think I've ever seen where she's just a normal woman. She's not some sort of character. And in the American one, it's funny because she plays it as just a very nice woman meeting these two and saying she's not friends with Naomi Watts and she meets the other guy. It's like, hey, how's it going? But she's not like, she's like, in the Austrian one, the woman is very much playing it as I am an uppity bitch and I am rich and better than you. Do
Yeah.
not talk to me because you're not my friend. You know, you're not Anna. You know, don't ask questions. You know, don't talk to your betters kind of thing. And I like that better because then that at least gives you a sense of like comeuppance at the end. You kind of want this rich bitch to die at the
Oh,
end.
yeah.
And at least with Siobhan Fallon, you're like, oh, she was just nice, you know? She was just being neighborly, you know? But it's, and that makes it, I guess, a little more tragic, but obviously that's for the sequel, which I'm actually shocked he didn't try to do. You know? But it's like, oh, the first one didn't work, I'm gonna make a sequel. But I gotta say, I mean, I don't think there's much more we can say about these two. It's just that I think we might be split on this because you prefer, like, we're really just comparing the two Pauls. And
We've been like we inherit like the American Peter almost just wins by default.
yeah, because he's not as.
It's not really a compliment for the American Peter. It's more of a the Austrian Peter was such a nothing
Yeah, he's just
character.
nothing. He's like a German Stillwell angel. That's all he really is, you know. But all right, so now let's move on to the couples.
Yeah.
So we got Naomi Watts, Tim Roth versus Anna and George, played by, let's make sure we get it in their names because it's Suzanne Lothar
And
and Ulrich
Ulrich Mew.
Mew? Moo? Mewy? Something? Slippy, Slappy, Swanson? But
I'll say it again. The American acting is better for the couples. But
yeah,
for some
absolutely.
reason, I still prefer the like acting wise. I'm for the four main characters. The American version takes three out of the four in my book, and the fourth one is the closest for Paul.
Yeah.
But I prefer the Austrian version for some reason.
Yeah, it's I in this case, I obviously I prefer watching Naomi Watts and Tim Roth on screen because they're better actors and they're better looking. So that's like the American bias right there. Like I want my movie stars to look good, but and it's obviously no fault of the woman's because she's supposed to be the everyday woman, but the woman in the Austrian one who plays Anna is so off-putting to look at. She's not an attractive woman, and when her cry face has to start going, it's ugly. It is an ugly cry face. Obviously, she's not supposed to look composed in this situation, but it's very difficult to look at. And obviously, that's probably the point. But if he purposely cast a woman who's not attractive, then that's fuck that, dude. You know, it's like you want to cast by talent, not by looks in this case.
That's, but again, it's like looking at it in terms of casting, Paul is like your keystone actor. If you get Paul right, then the rest of the characters don't matter as much.
Yeah, because they're not really reacting to anything. And like I said, with the son character, with Georgie, it's really a nothing character. All he has to do is cry. And then ultimately die. But it's also kind of the same for George, the father George,
He
because
just gets hurt.
he just gets hurt. And even when you cast Tim Roth, you're almost casting him for the face because he doesn't do anything. Both movies rest on the shoulders of Naomi and Suzanne. They rest on the two Anna actresses because they're the ones that in the end we think are going to survive, but they don't, obviously, because this movie will not have a happy ending. But Naomi Watts is, I don't know, there's just something about her that's more, she starts off more in the positive of like wanting to give this idiot that came over for eggs and just can't seem to hold on to them a bit of more of like a break. She wants to give him a little more leeway, but then it's like, then Paul shows up and she's like, all right, whatever this bit is, I'm sick of it. But the Austrian chick is almost immediately done with this dude. And it's like, maybe that's just the Austrian, like nature. I don't know.
I also want to know what their plan is. If the family owns a gun.
Yeah, and they do. Well, no, they don't. It's the neighbor that has the gun. The neighbor's where the
How'd they
gun
get
comes from.
around that? Like, I guess they gotta assume that they're either, it's like, oh, they're rich, preppy people. They don't know how to use it or don't have the stomach to use it.
Well, they do make sure, Paul does make sure, because he knows the gun isn't loaded when Georgie goes to shoot him. So that's either part of the plan from the first when they were, torturing and killing that couple. Part of that game was probably to take the bullets out because we see them put new bullets in when they have the gun in the current house, in Anna and George's house. But so their plan was to use a gun at some point or use the gun at some point, which is why he has the bullets to it. But he almost had to do that, I'm guessing, as like a safety precaution just in case, because whether or not, because obviously we're not meant to see that part of the movie. Because I guess he would just rewind it, if they got shot. But it's almost funnier that in the Austrian one, it makes sense that even though it is a cabin, like a lake cabin, there might be a shotgun there for hunting or whatever. But the funny thing is that there isn't that extra commentary added in the American one of Americans and their guns. It's.
Like, what do they do if they show up to the rich people who happen to be gun-toting, like,
Right.
yeah, Second Amendment people?
And because they are who they are, they know they probably are targets. So they have to have some means of self-defense to whoever, what other unwashed masses are trying to find their way to their rich upscale vacation home,
That's, I mean, like, even just owning a pistol as like self-defense, like,
Yeah.
how, what do, like, that's my thing. Their plan upon watching the movie seems flawless because it's supposed to, because that is the plan of the movie. It's like everything that happens, it's because they wanted it to happen.
I mean,
But
obviously
the
they
second
go.
someone pulls out a weapon, they don't have any way to defend themselves. Like, I guess they could theoretically case the houses they go to, but
I mean, that's also like, since this is a vacation neighborhood, the real question is like, okay, so they clearly went for the first family. That first family was a target. But Naomi Watts and Tim Roth's family, they are bonuses. And then when they meet Siobhan Fallon's character, it's like, oh, that's even more of a bonus because we know a third family is home. And it's the same thing in the Austrian one. I think it's more of crimes of opportunity after the first one.
Yeah.
So it's like, let's see how many we can get. Let's see how many of these we can do until either we're caught or killed, you know? And they do have, the only real question is there's that quote unquote hole in the fence that they find that they allows them to go from the neighbor's house to Naomi Watts and the and Anna and George's house. Because both times they both asked, like, hey, why aren't you? He's like, oh, I came by the water. Why aren't you wet then? You know, like presuming that he came up by boat. He's like, no, there's a hole in the fence by the water, not on the water. You know, it's like, oh, okay. Well, what if that hole wasn't in the fence? You know, were you, what if that fence was a lot higher? You know, all of these questions are here because they have a large gate around the home to get into the driveway that's remote controlled. It's like a lot of these things do kind of have to have movie events happen in order for it to succeed. But there
Now,
are a lot of holes in the real world.
for the American version, there's a very clear crossover that could be happening here.
The
Funny
strangers.
games at the Amityville Horror.
There you go. You picked the wrong house, you know. And that's where like the oh, I'm on the family side or like comes in. Like now I want these guys to get punished. But yeah, that would, I mean, that'd be, yeah, you just start combining genres. That'd be fun.
Or there's also Funny Games with the
That would be better. That would
Great
actually be better, you know, because I want to see what some sort of period drama would be like with this premise.
Some like
But
H.H. Holmes type.
right, exactly. Yeah. But it's, I mean, it's, I don't think there is, I mean, obviously it's where I think we feel like we're kind of either at least reaching to compare Naomi Watts versus Suzanne, you know, Lothar, simply because Naomi Watts is Naomi Watts, you know, and she's a better actress than this German chick. And there is no comparison between Tim Roth and the other dude because both of them don't do anything in either movie. And by default, Tim is better, you
It's
know?
almost like a Floyd Mayweather fight. It's like, yeah, he's playing defense the whole time, but he's gonna win because, that's who we vote for.
Right. Exactly. But it's tough. But then again, these two movies, we didn't pick them because they would be easy to compliment. These two were basically we're just doing the whole shot for shot remake was the thing. And it's
That's
really the
like,
question is like, why would you do it? You know, like what was the point?
yeah, that is the best conversation to have around this. Why do the remake? What was the, 'cause like the remake did not make money.
No, it failed spectacularly, just like the German, like the original one did.
Like it was
And
like, I
that,
think $15 million budget, $8 million worldwide gross.
yeah, and that's the thing. Like a lot of the articles I saw about this, because I tried to read up on, you know, the various different reasons for why he did this. And the main reason he explicitly said was that because there was no American audience, it didn't make money. So he made it for the American audience, and nobody gave a shit. So
And
it's
they
like,
lost
dude,
money.
it wasn't the audience. It was
It's
the
like the
movie.
he's like he made the first one, and it's like, yeah, you're the problem if you came to see it. Then was surprised when no one came to see the
Right.
remake.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where like a director thinks he's so much smarter than the audience, insults the audience, and then gets mad when they don't show up. It's like, well, did you not hear what you said? Like, were you not there when you said it?
But it's
Because we.
kind of like Velma, where it's like Velma on HBO, not even comparing the quality, because I think they're decent movies. I wouldn't personally watch either again.
Yeah, they're very difficult watches. They are. It's they're almost worth it just to see the first time and then be done, you know.
But the first, like, this was my first time seeing both, and I'm like, it wasn't pleasant.
No, and again, it's, you know, it's obviously not supposed to be, but again, there's a certain audience that those movies have, and
It's a masochistic audience that you're like, you want the people that like, they're like, there's no happy endings in real life. I don't want a story with a happy ending. Yeah, it's like these movies are meant to be like for the anti-happy ending people. And even them, like, it's not an easy watch because, like, yeah, there's no happy ending, but there's no happy any point in this movie.
right. Yeah, and it's again, like we, you know, it's again, it's almost beating a dead horse at this point. It's there are movies that are purposely made to test audiences. And the funny thing I saw was that the compare most common comparison to the 2007 Funny Games was the Hostel movies. And it's like, yeah, I get it. They're unpleasant to watch. But if anything, Hostel can be watched from the like campy, like this is a ridiculous premise and a ridiculous amount of blood kind of thing. But for these movies, it's like, well, this could have real this really did happen. This was like Leopold and Loeb did this shit, you know? It's this
Yeah,
is
that's
real.
they are both for like that kind of masochistic audience, like the whole torture porn audience fit. But like, so Hostel knows it's for the torture porn audience. Like that is a legitimate fan base to appeal to.
Yeah, and it's not. I'm not gonna say that the Hostel is high art or anything, but Eli Roth isn't taking it seriously. Like those movies may seem like they're being like real pain is being inflicted on, but the point of those movies is to be over the top and be
That
stupid and be
this
ridiculous.
movie is too realistic because it's like, yeah, someone could just show up at your house and just do this shit.
Yeah, so it's like I'd almost rather watch a movie like The Strangers or something like, or even like The First Purge, you know, where it's like,
That The
it's.
Strangers, I feel like, is the best comparison, like story structure wise, because it's the whole why are you doing this? Because we could, but they cinematize
Yeah,
it.
yeah.
They put the villains in masks. They give you people to root for. They
Yeah, you got heroes, you got people that survive, you know, it's one thing to have something like Rogue One where everyone dies at the end because you know they're not in the future because this is a movie in the middle of a franchise.
Rogue One, they die at the end, but ultimately they did what they set out to accomplish. They got the plans to Princess Leia so that Luke Skywalker would go on to blow up the Death Star. Like,
Yeah. This and like I said earlier, these two movies seem like the film versions of Yoko Ono songs. It's like they were made for quote unquote art reasons, but all they're doing is to just waste money and piss people off. That's all they are, and that's all Yoko Ono's entire
And
life
that's like the
was
comparison to Velma. I'm like, in Velma, they make fun of adults who watch cartoons. They make fun of like the source material for Scooby-Doo. And at the end of the day, it's an adult cartoon. Who is this made for? You're making fun of the supposed target audience you have.
There is that fine line you can walk between satirizing something and then outright insulting the people that you want to watch it as well. And if it's not like a roast, then it doesn't work because there is no like, this is from a paid place of we love you, so we're gonna kind of fuck with you a little bit. But at the end, this is all about like we respect you and like we love what you're one of our friends kind of thing. Like we make fun of you because we love you, that kind of thing. But yeah, like you said, it's like he might as well have said, my audience is dumb. They're not gonna understand this, so watch my movie. You know? It's like, wait,
He's like,
what?
if you go to see movies like this, you're the problem, but come watch mine though.
Yeah, we're coming over. Watch mine. It's the same thing. It's exactly the same. You know, I just watch my movie, please. Please watch my movie. But yeah. So we've spent far too long talking about Funny Games, I think. But I do think that it's a good one to start with because it's of the four that we're talking about. It is the one that is literally shot for shot remake. There is no difference between the two except for slightly shorter scenes and slightly shorter parts, but yet somehow they both still have the same runtime. I don't know how that happened. I think it's the end credits that ended up happening. But Mike, before we reveal what we're doing next week, where can people find us?
Yeah, let me just shout out Armageddon Brewing because we didn't do a
Oh
mid-episode
yeah, that's
check-in.
right. Yeah, we were trying to get through this as well, I think.
Yeah, so Armageddon Brewing. Awesome job. I'm a fan of their ciders and their mead.
Nice. Yeah, no, of course. Ship Bottom Brewery is well documented as being one of our favorites. Sorry you had to be part of this one. Maybe I'll come up with another ship bottom because they do have like an LBI lager now that
Yeah.
looks pretty good. So maybe we'll do that for next week. So Mike, where can people find us? And then we'll talk next week.
You find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, and just about anywhere else you get your podcast from. Thanks to Spotify Podcast. You'll find us on Instagram and Facebook at Happy Hour Films po Podcast.
And next week, shockingly enough, Mike and I are going to do this exact episode over again, but just in German.
Yes,
So that's what
that
we're going to,
we
that's
specifically were taking German classes to make this work.
right. It's not going to be good. Our German's going to be terrible, but it's going to be the exact same episode, just in German.
But check the subtitles. Oh,
You know, there's somebody right now just going, wait. It's an audio podcast. That's the joke, Dick. wait, yeah, get your interpreter. Get your sign language interpreter.
wouldn't recommend Shohei
I would not, especially if you want to keep your money.
Ohtani,
It's amazing. Pete Rose, not in the Hall of Fame. Shohei Ohtani, gonna be. Doesn't matter. Fuck the interpreter. Throw him under the bus. Who cares? But speaking of throwing people under buses and killing them horribly, next week we are doing the Omen movies. So the Omen 76, the original, and then Omen 2006, which was for the most part a shot-for-shot remake of that movie. And actually, the next 3 weeks are going to be like a Halloween in April kind of theme because we got three horror movies in a row.
Might I say the Omen 2006 fucking terrified me. Like that was one of the first horror movies I ever actually like sat down and watched. I think my friends were sleeping over. It came out when I was in like I was 9 when it came out, and my friend slept over, and it was on one of the movie channels, and we ended up watching it way too late, and like 10-year-old me wasn't ready for that.
No one is, and first, the Omen always makes me think of Kramer on Seinfeld. Because there's an episode of Seinfeld where it opens up, and they're talking about Georgia stayed up all night watching the Omen trilogy, and they're trying to figure out what Damien was. And then Kramer comes in, he's like, "Damien is just a precocious little scamp, you know?" It's like, wait, what? So next week, until next week, when we talk about the precocious little scamp, I have been Ross Bacon.
I've been Mike McQuiggan.
I'll see you guys next time. So long.